Hey, perf that, we'll take something away from this, and that we will all have a good day, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So I want to start in 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians right now. It'll be up on the board, chapter 5, verse 9. Christian, would you read that?
Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him.
All right, so I imagine maybe either one of you shot a gun or a bow, an arrow, right? Or even a basketball. So if you want to hit the basket, the bullseye, what do you have to do?
Practice.
Well, you have to practice, yeah. But what are you doing? What are you actually doing when you grab the gun and you just
aim,
right? You don't just randomly wave it in the air and hopefully it hits, right? So you should aim. So when you're aiming, you're putting it's not random, it's for a purpose, right? Because that's what Paul's doing. So Paul's talking right here, he's writing right here, and he's trying to please him. Who's him?
God.
God, or, yeah, what'd you say?
Lord.
Lord. Jesus. It's all right, but capital A is always referencing the Lord God. So he's trying to do his very best, right? He's aiming. He's doing everything he can to make or hit the mark. And then it goes on to present or absent. Now, some scholars feel like because and then talking about the earthly body versus our spirit going up to heaven and being resurrected. So our body and the absent is out of the body. Now, I kind of got a different take on it. I think it's more simple than that, because if you know why Paul is writing 2 Corinthians, he's writing this because there's people in Corinth what were talking ill of Paul. Right? So they weren't talking nice things about Paul. Oh, Paul's this. Paul's doing bad things. So Paul, he's justifying who he is. So whether on another nation, he's still doing good things. He's still doing the right things. You know, he's still trying to please the Lord. Now, I think it could be looked at either way. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm sure they're smarter than me. But either way, the point is that we should have Paul's heart. That no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing it to glorify God. We're doing it our very best. We're doing everything we can to please God. Now, this don't show my age, but back in the 90s, there was a movement or a saying, and I'm sure you and I don't know it, but I'll say it anyways, WWJD.
What will Jesus do?
Awesome. I don't even know.
Sometimes.
Really?
What would Jesus do?
Right. It's a good statement. I don't know. Jesus do? When you get in a situation, it's like, what should I do? Well, what would Jesus do? Okay, so we'll go on to verse 10. Michelle, can you read that?
I can.
Since there's only four of us. So in Greek, the word judgment seat is bema. I don't know. You'll Every once in a while, people will say the Bema seat and everything. So I just let you guys know, it means seat. And in back in the day, it is exactly that. It's where the judge would sit. So it's kind of like a courtroom. You know, he has the judge sitting up there. That's the Bema seat. And that's just where he passes judgment on whoever stands in front of him. Now, God is a just judge. But being a just judge, he has to judge us. It wouldn't be fair if he didn't judge us. You know, because of everything we've done. But he has to. You know, it wouldn't be fair to everybody else. Everybody, even non-believers, are going to be judged, and believers has to be judged also. Our 1 John 2:1, and I'll read that. Sorry.
All right, it's up there.
My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So does anybody know what an advocate is?
Person who's on your side.
Exactly. It's a, you know, from the Lord, huh?
Speaks up for you.
You're both exactly right. He speaks up. He defends you. He fights for you. He argues for you. You know, he supports. So Jesus is our advocate. Meaning that during this judgment that God's going to have on us, Jesus is our advocate. He's supporting you. He's arguing for you. He's fighting for us. And because of that, because he's willing to do that, we will make it through. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians. Silas.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. And so I also trust are well known in your consciences.
All right. So Paul, we need to notice what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, or he doesn't say, if we do not, if we fail to persuade others to follow God, we will fail to follow the Lord. He doesn't say either one of those things. Now, and I've used this example probably a long time ago, but my dad used to own guns. Right? So if I were to go to my dad's house, I have no fear because he knows me. Right? He could recognize me. But if I go to somebody else's house, having it now, there would be fear there. There should be fear there. Right? Because you don't know. Now, this is Paul's point, is that he knows the terror that is in store for those ones what don't believe in God. He knows that terror. And he cares for people. He knows what's going to happen. So Paul doesn't just talk about Jesus. Oh yeah, there's this guy about Jesus. He died on the cross for us. No, he's passionate. It's like, you got to know about Jesus. You know, he's passionate in a way to persuade. That's how we should be. As you know, we're called to tell people about Jesus. And we should be passionate. We should be trying to persuade them. Not just tell them about him, but try to do it in a way that we're persuading them. To let them know about Jesus. Paul knows that he's doing the right thing. He's confident in that. You know, and that's why he feels very confident in saying God knows him. But he's hoping that by his actions, by what everything he's saying, what he's doing, that the Corinthians can see it also. That's why he's hoping that they could see, or he's trusting that their confidence or their conscience will see that he's doing the right thing. Again, why he's writing the letter, he's kind of reaffirming, kind of justifying. He's saying, yeah, I'm not just doing this to fool you guys. I'm not a false prophet. In verse 12, Christian, can you read that?
Yes, sir. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart.
Excuse me. So Paul is presenting himself to the Corinthians, right? He's letting his actions show what's in his heart. You know, making it so that there's nothing they could hold against him. You know, I don't know if anybody, you've heard rumors, people talking bad about you, and it's not pleasant. You know, you get your feelings hurt, but that's why we just need to rise above it. We can't attack them just like, oh, and say bad things about them just because they're saying bad things about us. But we need to show that there's no reason, there's no proof that they could say those bad things.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah, what would Jesus do? Right? Turn the other cheek, right? You know, so we can't, you know, those bad things that they say about us, we can't have it be true, and we need to have them have no proof that is true. So they can't even say those things because they know it's not true. You know, you could put a sheep costume on a wolf, but it's still a wolf, right? That's what he's talking about, is what's the inside, what's in your heart is what matters. You know, hopefully it's a good thing, what's in your heart, and you're showing it on the outward appearance. But it's the outward appearance. You know, if the outward appearance doesn't match the inside, the outward appearance is all pretty, but the inside is all ugh. You know, it's only skin deep. Luke 6, 45, verse 45. Michelle?
A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks.
And we find out what our desires are. They come from the heart. You know, and that's what we're going to do. So we need to have those good treasures built up in our heart so that we do good on the outside. You know, we cannot do enough good deeds. We can't do enough good deeds to get to heaven. That's not how we get to heaven. It's not by works. However, if we have those good treasures in our heart, if we have a heart for the Lord, we will just do good things. You know, that just comes natural. You know, because what would Jesus do? You know, is following that model is you just do good things. You know, it's an add-on. It's just what happens. You do good things because it's the right thing to do. Verse 13. I guess that's me. I don't even have it right. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. Now, I don't think it's said anymore, but if you're beside yourself. And when people use that term as beside yourself, it kind of means that you're not all there. You're not really there. You know, so it's opposite of sound mind. So if the Corinthians wanted to think of Paul as being beside himself, are crazy, if you will, crazy for putting himself in dangerous situations, for talking about being reborn, talking about resurrection, if they want to think that he's crazy, he's doing it to glorify God. If they want to think that he has a sound mind because they're telling him about God, then that's about him caring for the Corinthians. Either way, Paul is fine with if their take on it. It's kind of like Noah. You know, if you put yourself in Noah's sandals, if you will, right? If you knew there was going to be a disaster, however you knew there was a way out, it might sound crazy. You know, hey, I'm going to build a big boat. It's on a flood. It's never rained before. How can it be a flood? It might sound crazy to some people. And you'll sound crazy. But for those people who you care about and you save or listen to you, it's like you have a perfect plan. Right? It's like you're a genius. This guy's great. But that's Paul. You know, to some people he might sound crazy, but others, the people who believe, he sounds perfectly normal. And then you'll see that out there in the world. That's the world we live in. Verses 14 through 15. Silas?
For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died again for them and rose again.
So no greater love, you probably heard this, no greater love than somebody who's willing to lay down their life for somebody else. So Jesus gave everything. Or if somebody did that, they're giving everything. Everything. It doesn't matter, you know, be as your own, lose everything. Lose your worldly goods in losing your life, right? So you're giving everything. You know, that's the love Jesus did for us. He gave everything. You know, and this love compels Paul. If Jesus was willing to do that for Paul, then the least he could do, the very least, is that he gets to know about Jesus. And then once he knows about Jesus, then it goes further. And then it's, oh, well, the least I could do is tell people about Jesus, because they need to know how to be saved. Because love grows. You know, the more we love, the more we get love, the more we have love, and then love just grows upon itself. Verse 16, Christian.
Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer.
So flesh is another word, is saying like this earth or this earthly realm, the world. You know, once you know Jesus, you know, and you guys are still young, and I'm sure you grew up in the church. So, I mean, it's kind of different for somebody who didn't grow up in the church. But if once they know Jesus, and actually, once you guys get to that point where you really know Jesus, I mean, you grew up in Sunday school and growing through these things where you knew about Jesus, but once you really know Jesus, you see him through different eyes. You have different eyes to look at the world. You know, you see things differently, especially if you grew up in not a Christian life or a family. You know, your friends that are at school or anything, is maybe they don't have that Christian background. But once they become a Christian, you know, hopefully they become a Christian, and then they see things differently. You know, the world has a different outlook on life. You know, Jesus did walk this world as a human. He did that. But he was so much more. So much more. And we know that he wasn't just human, that he was God, right? So he's no longer flesh as far as, you know, he's still around, he's still everywhere, but that's why he's not of this world.
Spirit.
Yeah, His spirit is in heaven. He's all wow. He's everywhere. He's all around us. It's one of those harder concepts as far as, I don't want to say the wrong thing, as far as
he's always with us.
He's always with us, but he's just not human. He's not living in this world. We can't be confined. He's not confined to this world. Death couldn't confine him. Nothing. So he's not confined here. We're kind of confined right now, right? We're still here, still on earth, and we have to be here. We have this earthly realm we're in. Yes.
Do you have a restroom?
Yes. To the right.
Thank you.
Book 17. Hun?
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
So if we come to Christ, we're a new creation. So it's that same premise as far as, you know, old things are forgiven, your past is forgiven, and you have a new outlook on life. You know, you have new eyes, you're a new creation. Because you don't want, or you shouldn't want to do the things of the past. You know, those things that we shouldn't do, and we should be focusing more on God. Verses 18 and 19. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who are recounseled of to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Reconciliation.
That is that God. Reconciling the world to himself by imposing this trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Silas, do you know what that means? I need to learn how to say it, but
causes us to think over something.
Thinking over something, you're really close, and I that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. Reconciliation. Do you have any idea?
No.
Reconciliation is like you're getting two parties together, trying to get them together. You know, you're joining things back. You know, maybe, you know, fixing things, bonding things. You know, if there's a tear, you're putting things back together. Ever since the first sin, you know, Adam's sin, there's been a separation. And Jesus came to change that. You know, with his spirit, you know, we have that same goal if we follow the Spirit, as far as bringing people together for Christ. It's getting things back together. Verses 20 and 21. Silas?
Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as through God we are pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
So Jesus had no sin, right? He was innocent. Yet he took the punishment of the world's sin on himself, so that we could be atoned. He did it for us so that we could be saved. You know, the Lamb of God was the perfect sacrifice. It was the only one what could cover that much sin and last forever. So it had to happen. You know, this is why Paul does what he does. because he's an ambassador for Christ. If you believe in Jesus, you too are automatically an ambassador for him. So, do we know what an ambassador is?
Some person who represents somebody.
Right? Right. Normally, I don't know why. They're representing their whole nation, right? They come over, you know, whether we come over there or they come over here, you know, we're living in a foreign land. This way, as far as we're living in a foreign land, we're living in this world, but we don't belong to this world. We belong to God. We belong to heaven. So we're representing. No matter, you know, oh, well, they shouldn't be looking at me. You know, they should be focusing on God. But people see what you do. People notice what you do. You know, they notice your appearance. You know, it's been a long time, but when I was in school, I had a teacher tell me, he was a Democrat, he told me, well, you must be a conservative because of the way you dress and everything. I don't know why, that just sticks in my head, but, you know, people notice things. They notice how you act, and they can see. And especially if they know you're Christian, or you tell them that you're Christian, then if you...
It triggers them sometimes.
Well, it triggers them also. It seems like they want you to screw up. You know, it's like, they want to see how you react to a dirty joke, or they want to see if you tell a dirty joke or something, or, you know, they notice what you do.
They want a reaction.
Right, right. John 3:16, right?
I don't know this, but
I'm
sure.
Yeah, I think it's the most read verse everywhere. Yeah, I think it's Christian's turn, right?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right? And that's that verse 21 in a nutshell, is that God came to save us. Right? Now, we will be judged, but there's a way to receive grace. And that way is Jesus, right? Because he came so that whoever believes in him, so that's the way. And the love that we, you know, what we had received by that grace, we should want to show or share with others. You know, in a way, we started out clueless. Then we got to knowledge. And then we're making a way for others. You know, we need to be God's lighthouse out there in this world. We need to show others the way to sail through these dangerous waters. And right now, and I know, I'm sure you've heard, I mean, everything was going around. A lot of people are speculating a lot of things, right? And there is dangerous waters. There's always dangerous waters. And we need to be that lighthouse for those who do not know. Those friends, what are you're not sure about, maybe we need to make sure about them as soon as we can. Christian, can you close this in prayer?
Yes, sir. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for a wonderful teaching today. Hopefully we all took something from this and we can be in battle. Ambassadors for you, and share the love of God with others. Amen.